This week's episode of the Fitcast is brought to you by XFMuscle.com, who are the best tasting protein powder out there. You can also check out their other great supplements like ice. Hello, welcome to this week's episode of the Fitcast. This is episode number 201. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and along with me, as always, or per the usual, is Jonathan Fass from jfassbiceps.com. John, what's up?
What's up? Nothing but the biceps.
Hi, did you do any sets today?
All biceps, all day, all the time.
What'd you do? Like, did you do like 3x20 or?
I did some concentration curls, single arm concentration curls. Then I did some slide curls. Then I did some hammer curls. Then I did some reverse concentration curls. Then I did some preacher curls. Mm-hmm. And then I did some standing straight bar curls and some easy bar curls. And then I did some alternating dumbbell curls.
Good.
And then I did some rotating dumbbell curls.
Good. So you got your rehab work in there too.
Yep.
Good. And the writer of that workout, John, he will be I think you're going to be releasing that early this year for the for the new year, right?
That's just a taste for all you Fitcast listeners.
Cool. And also we have the always enjoyable, always upbeat Lee Peel from LeePeel.com. Mm.
I'm working on a rest pause program for the biceps.
Nice. Can I get an early look at that?
Mm-hmm. It includes information on both short and fast twitch muscle fibers.
Wait. You're gonna break it down though, like type 2 A and B, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, and the mysterious Lex. C.
Oh shh.
Which can also be dubbed 2B, but
Wait, can we pause the podcast and talk about this off the air?
Sure, yeah. I'll give you the inside track.
All right, we'll be right back in a couple minutes. Until then, enjoy this music. Anyways, we're back after taking a couple weeks off for the holidays, and we ended up doing episode 200. I think it went pretty well. It came in about 3.5 hours or something like that, or 3 hours and a couple minutes. So
it was epic.
Epic broadcasting.
Mm. Yes, thank you to everyone that sent in, kind words and things like that. Far too many to mention. And also one thing I forgot to mention in the off topic, two quick things that I should say is that one of my clients, Michelle, got me a flux capacitor t-shirt for Christmas. So thank you so much. Aww. I will be wearing that later this week when I train. And also we had a couple visitors come up to Mike Boyle's over the last couple days, or I should say the last couple weeks. And it is pretty cool when you get to all right, so we ended up having a little bit of audio issues there, but hopefully we can come back and we're good. But anyway, so I was saying we had Nadine Brown actually visited us at Mike Boyle Australian Conditioning, one of our fans from Australia. So huge shout out to our Australian listeners and Nadine for coming and getting her butt kicked at Boyle. She also visited Eric's place as well while she was up here. So, and I think Mike Robertson's too. I think she kind of went around the country. But
yeah, she did.
Do you know?
Keep me updated too.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think I covered everything. So, yeah, I think we're good. Okay.
Actually, that's right. I need to go yell at her because I gave her a whole bunch of places to eat in New York, and I didn't hear back from her. Nadine, I didn't hear back from you. I want to know how that went.
Get called out on the Fitcast.
Called out on the Fitcast. Now what's up?
I want to quickly mention that the new rules of lifting for abs is now out. If you guys want to go pick it up on Amazon, of course we had Lou Schuler talk about it when he came on a couple weeks back, and I hope to have an interview with Alan Cosgrove for you guys for next week. We had some scheduling conflicts that we couldn't get together before for now, but hopefully we'll be able to do something. So if you still have questions for Alan, you can send them in to questions@thefitcast.com. You guys want to go do some mailbag stuff?
Yeah, why not?
All right, here's the first question from Mitchell. We're just going right into it. I'm currently deployed to in Iraq, and the defects here don't have a good choice of food as far as nutrition is concerned. How would a soldier go about keeping a clean diet if most of your good foods aren't offered? They do have plenty of fruits and vegetables, but not a lot of protein choices. Thanks for your help. Love the podcast. So first, thank you for your service, Mitchell. Do you know if they have like merchant stores and stuff like that where you can get like protein powder, or what?
It really, really depends on where they're stationed.
Gotcha.
It's different for like every single place. You know, in some places they have huge chow halls and other and access to stores. Then other places it's like mostly like ready made meals, and they're lucky to get like meal. I mean, you know, on a consistent basis. So it just really depends. It's, you know, so it's tough.
Well, John, you're basically in the middle of nowhere. What do you do?
Yeah, I mean, well, it's true. I mean, you can get care packages sent if you're really concerned about stuff, you know, like proteins and things like that. Yeah, where I'm at, I can get a hold of stuff like that, but it is ridiculously expensive because it's just not really something that's offered to regularly over there. I think what you have to do is just make the best of what you're offered. Because I have the same thing. I eat meals with the mystery boss every night. Like, we go to dinner every night at his crib. And, you know, it's like it's very hard to try to find stuff that's going to fit into a, you know, common sense diet when you've got, like, you know, all these five-star chefs cooking stuff. Woe is me, yes, but still, it does make eating properly more difficult. So you just have to pick and choose the stuff that's going to be, the best. Load up the plate with vegetables first, fill it in with lean meats, and do your best. You know, if you can't be perfect, then just be as optimal as you can be.
I absolutely agree.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you can still have a pretty decent meal. And okay, if you're going to try to be a bodybuilder, it'll be a little harder for you when you're having more difficulty controlling what you're eating. But if you're still trying to just be lean, especially with the amount of activity that you're going to be, you know, doing on a day-to-day basis, you should be fine. And then the nice thing about, you know, quote-unquote eating clean, usually that just refers more to like health rather than necessarily like, oh, I want to be lean. Because remember, I mean, you can be lean on McDonald's. It's just a matter of how much you're taking in, what your energy output is. So again, if you look at the research of what happens when you exercise, the health markers from exercise, everything is improved. So it's not to say that, oh, you should just eat like crap, don't worry about it. But if you're trying to eat healthy and you're trying to quote unquote eat clean and you're exercising regularly, you'll probably be in pretty good shape, you know, both physically and from a health standpoint. So I wouldn't worry too much. The army is probably not trying to poison you. So I think you'll be pretty good.
I totally agree. And if you can get care packages, then, I mean, it's stating the obvious, but think about things that you can take with you that are going to, you know, protein bars or jerkies, things like that, that can kind of help and keep out with you when you're traveling around more. That's about it. Yeah, I mean, I agree.
Yeah. And as far as like not having a lot of protein choices, generally speaking, you're still going to be all right. I mean, if there's some kind of, you know, chicken or some kind of beef or some kind of fish, any one of them, I mean, although variety is nice, you know, you'll be pretty good with that. I mean, you're going to be okay. As long as they're giving you something, you'll be okay.
Yeah, I mean, even if it's powdered eggs,
it's
what it is. But you can make do with it.
Ate those quite a bit in college. Didn't hurt me too much. They actually don't taste that bad. This is a really great question from Alan, and I want to jump on this one next. He says, what are the main differences between the functional movement screen and assessing correct? Which is better for trainers to use for assessing clients and athletes, and why? And this is a question that I actually get quite a bit when people visit Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning, because I'm not the biggest fan of the FMS. And for people who aren't aware of what it is, it's the screening that Gray Cook put together, and I think along with Lee Burton. Okay, I do have that correct. And basically, you have about 10 movements, or maybe it's a little bit less than that.
And, no, it's less than that.
Well, anyways, you have a certain amount of movements.
I thought it was six.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's probably six. Anyways, it is what we use for most of our personal training clients at MBSC, and I think it's a good way to get a general idea of what's going on with people. You know, again, a little bit of background. Some of the things that you do are like an inline lunge, an overhead squat. You do some rotary stability type tests, and you'll be scored by getting a 3, 2, 1, or a 0. 3 being perfect, obviously 2 being, you know, a little bit of an issues, 1 being barely able to do it or that you have to make some kind of modification, and 0 if there's pain. And at the end, you get a number, and you know, it just gives you a way to give your client a statistic or an athlete a statistic to look at to see if they're improving, if you want to retest them down the line, or again, you get to see a pretty good view of you know, where there might be any mobility issues, or if they're actually having pain in a certain area and they're not being completely honest. Like, you'll have athletes that come in and they will try not to admit that something is bothering them, like their ankle is bothering them, and then they go and do an overhead squat and you see them grimace, so you get a good idea that way. But what you get with Assessing Correct is you get a bunch of different screens that you can use, and you can pick and choose what you want to use for a certain client or a certain athlete based on their previous history, what they want to do, or again, a great example for an athlete, or if they play a certain sport, like for baseball players, there's going to be certain things you're going to look for hockey players, there's going to be certain things that you're going to look for that you wouldn't necessarily look for in other athletes. And I think the FMS for most people out there, I think it's a pretty good stepping stone. If you want to start assessing your clients or doing some kind of screening before you start training them, just to get a general idea of where they are. But with Assessing Correct, you can add some things on top of that. You can add, you know, testing glenohumeral internal rotation deficit and things like that. If you really need to focus on an overhead throwing athlete, that's something that's going to be important. So I've always been someone that says, you know, FMS is good. Making your own assessment based on known movements that you can actually take a look at and you can quantify, make it even better. You know, I definitely recommend that, because it is a very general assessment. And John, you're probably, you know, have a pretty strong opinion on this too.
Yeah, well, I think the first thing that people have to understand about any assessment, we get a lot of assessment questions individually and on the FitCast. And I think what you have to understand about an assessment is you must understand what you're actually assessing. And it sounds kind of silly, but the fact of the matter is that there are a lot of things out there, special testing and assessment screens and things like that, that don't actually have any evidence to base what they're testing on. And that's very important, because if you think that you're evaluating a structure or a movement, you have to understand that you're actually evaluating that, because the body is tricky, and you could claim that, well, I did this test and it came up positive, so therefore, you know, this is what's hurting you, or this is too tight and we have to stretch it. And you have to know that you're actually speaking the truth, because you could be testing something completely different and not have an understanding of that. And I think there's a great example that in physical therapy called Noble's compression test, which is supposed to test for IT band irritation. So you basically just put your finger on the IT band and you have the patient move through range of motion. And if it causes pain, then you go, oh, okay, this must be IT band irritation. There is nothing actually validating that. So for all I know, I didn't test it at all. It might have been the vastus lateralis that was hurting. It could have been a bruise. I might have just put my thumb on a bruise and it hurt. So the point is that if I do that test and then base my treatment on that test, I have no idea if it's actually going to work because I don't know that I actually tested what I thought I was doing. The same thing I think a bit of a lesser extent, but the same thing basically applies to anything that a personal trainer would do. You know, if I test someone's squat out and I decide that they have glute weakness, I should be pretty confident that my test regimen or my screen actually tells me this is indeed glute weakness. This isn't hamstring weakness or, you know, right, exactly. And if you're not really trained to do that or to be able to differentiate and to have the knowledge to do that, then you're basically, it's a crapshoot and you could be going at something, you know, giving the wrong stuff, which at best will just slow down your, you know, treatment, your outcomes, but at worst could be doing something that's absolutely not needed, not indicated, and possibly could screw the person up. So when you look at screens, the one thing that I do like about the FMS is there is some limited research validating it, very limited. It's still not something that you would say, okay, this has been completely validated, but at least it has some studies and they've come back positive. So you can be assured by that. The assessing correct is more almost like a PT assessment in a lot of ways, and it makes sense because Bill was so involved in it. And the stuff that they do there, a lot of that is based in evidence as well. Not necessarily the whole thing as, you know, evaluating the assessing correct methods, but the tests themselves have been validated. So I think either one that you go through is probably going to give you some good information. The FMS for people that aren't as savvy with assessing could be very valuable because it's basically like if this, then that, if this, then that. And it gives you a good floor plan and guide. Like if this came up poor, then this is what you should be working on. And I think that that's valuable for someone because quite frankly, there's very, very few, if any, undergrad exercise or even master's programs look at really how you evaluate and assess. And certainly a sanctioning body, certifications. Yeah. The NASM does to a certain extent, but otherwise you're really left out in the cold and most of the assessment stuff is more in like, you know, VO2 max and metabolic stuff that really doesn't affect you terribly as a trainer when you get down to the day-to-day stuff. Like, oh, you have a poor VO2 max? Okay, go run on the treadmill. I mean, it's not – you know what I mean? It's not
push up a bar, you're gonna do it again. Yeah.
Right. It's not really giving you stuff like why might this person actually be having these issues. So without, you know, crossing over into realms that a trainer shouldn't be getting into in terms of actual rehab and prescription stuff, I think it's valuable to at least be comfortable with one of those products and to be able to use that. Because it does help you a lot.
Cool. And John, you brought up some great points. Again, you know, when you are doing the assessment, you're just trying to, kind of see how your athlete or client moves and just use it as a guideline. Because, again, I just don't like assessing a score to something. Which obviously the FMS, you assign a score, but also it gives you some things to look for to see what is impeding that mobility or causing that pain. So I do think it is good for that. So, you know, it's definitely a great place to start. I think they're both great products, but you just need to – if you work with a certain population, you're going to see what you're going to need to look for over and over and over again. If you deal with a lot of common everyday, you know, office people that work at computers, you're going to know that you're going to have to look for, you know, hip mobility is going to be something that's always going to be an issue. Same thing with ankle mobility, or with hockey players, something like hip internal rotation is something that's always going to be an issue. So, you know, kind of look at the general population that you're dealing with and then kind of go from there. So you know what you're always going to have to look for. All right, let me just run down the list. This might be a somewhat short podcast, but we're going to do that roundtable. Cincinnati Steve sent in a question saying, I love the podcast. I've benefited greatly from the sound advice you're informative discussions that you
were informative,
whatever informative. I like that better.
Yeah.
Discussions that y'all and your great guests have provided over the years. Your single greatest gift to me as a listener has been applying a critical, reasonable approach to questions of fitness and nutrition. I've been an athlete and training enthusiast for a couple decades, and my propensity, you like that?
Good
one,
job.
Too? Thank you.
Good job.
Reading comprehension will be coming up next. Had been to be a hardliner and cocksure know-it-all. I'm sure you know the type, but your rigorous questioning of diet and exercise philosophies and practices have humbled my approach and attitude, making my training more enjoyable and productive by opening it up to more possibilities. Thank you. Here comes the question. My question is for
play by Kevin. No, please continue.
My question is for a recommendation for any workout routine products, ebooks, books, DVDs directed at couples. My girlfriend and I love the ease and convenience of working out at home and the extra quality time spent together, but many home-based products we know have seemed more targeted to a particular gender and incorporate elements that one or the other of us aren't crazy about. Any suggestions? That's from Cincinnati Steve, who was also in Red Dead Redemption. Played him in poker. This is a really cool question. Lee, what do you think? Some stuff that he can do at home with his bitty.
What is all ball and chain?
Nah.
Yeah. Well, there's many angles you could go. I think when you're it's interesting, I guess, that he's trying to look for something more non-gender specific, when I think that a lot of things are non-gender specific. I think it's more how they're packaged versus the actual movements. Like for example, a push-up is non-gender specific, and a very common home workout exercise. Prison squats are very non-gender specific, a very home friendly exercise. I think maybe you have to get out of your own way and see around the packaging and pick and choose some things that are very applicable for your situation and ignore all of the hype or the stereotypes or whatnot behind it. I know a lot of guys, for example, had some time getting around the use of Val slides because, that's more of a female orientated exercise device. And now they're really opening up to using it for their home exercise training and whatnot, because they feel that it benefits and adds an addition to their resistance or whatnot. So I think it's more of getting out of your own way. A lot of women don't perhaps want to use any sort of specific weights or heavy weights in their exercises because they're afraid of bulking up or whatnot. And I think that in general is something that we've more than discussed and debunked. So you could grab something as simple as I don't know what equipment you have available, Cincinnati Steve. I don't know if it's strictly body weight or not. In general, I'm not a fan of only body weight exercises all the time forever. I feel that it's hard to progress in certain things. I think that you're always going to need something for rows. You're going to need certain pull movements. I think that it's important if you're trying to create some sort of balance. So I think just body weight all the time for ever. It's not something I'm overly a huge fan of. It's not that it can't be done, but if you have the option, then I think it's better to at least add in some band usage or a TRX or certain things to increase certain resistance. So that's my opinion of that. I'm not sure the equipment you have available, but you can get a lot out of just some Val slides or furniture sliders or whatnot. You don't have to even go with a brand. You can get a lot out of a TRX or suspension type trainer. You can get a lot out of just some simple body weight movements and drills. There's reverse lunges. There's all types of things that you can do, and you can kind of put them together. As far as actual products, I can't think of any body weight things that just jump off the top of my head. I know that, I release body weight stuff, but I don't want a personal plug. So I'm not going to personal plug. I know that there's a lot of Pavel stuff that has a lot of body weight ideas. There's that whole convict conditioning thing that I think the premise behind it is kind of weird, but I believe there's some good body weight movements in that. There's TRX stuff. RossTraining.com, he does a lot of home workout stuff and challenging body weight workout stuff. So maybe some of the starter stuff could be good if she's newer. There's more advanced stuff that a lot of exercise movements are hard, all the way up to like handstand push-ups and things like that can be a lot more challenging for upper body work. Those are some few things. I know I'm missing something very obvious, so I'll pass it to John or Kevin. I'm missing an obvious product, but I think that's some good general ideas to maybe start from or bounce from.
I was just going to say, you know, in terms of the equipment and stuff, it, like Lee said, it really depends on how far you want to go. But a couple of kettlebells can go a long way. Like an ab roller can go a long way. And that's something that's like $10 on Amazon. I would know because I probably bought one in the off-topic discussion. But the, you know, a couple of cool things to check out in terms of people that do have like body weight programs. Of course, Lee does have one, so I would check hers out. And also, I know Alan Cosgrove had a body weight workout or an ebook come out a couple years back that might have some good options in there. But you know what? This might be a cool chance for you to kind of write up your own program and, you know, based on the equipment that you have and kind of take some of your favorite, or I should say maybe your least favorite exercises because they're, you know, difficult and put them into a program and give you and your girlfriend a challenge. And one of the cool things that you can do if you are going to be working with body weight is do some kind of, you know, not necessarily a competition, but do some kind of a challenge at the end. Like you could do some kind of a, you know, a push-up challenge, or you can do something like a split squat challenge and see how many you can get done in a certain amount of time. And just, you know, spice it up a little bit. But yeah, like Lee said, the things that you got to have, an Iron Gym pull-up bar, necessity, you know, some kind of suspension trainer, whether you build one yourself or you pick up something like a TRX, or I know there's another one that is now, I forget what the hell the name of it was, but it's like, do you guys know what I'm talking about? It's this other suspension trainer.
I rarely know what you're talking about.
That's true.
There's ringtraining.com has great suspension trainer.
That might be it.
That they have, it's called a suspension trainer. So,
I see.
It's a great suspension trainer. I know that Life Gym or Lifetime released the Jungle Gym. I can't remember what it's called specifically.
I think that's what I'm thinking of.
TRX style trainer. I have not tried it though. Personally, I've tried the others. I review some suspension trainers and show you some homemade versions on my blog in a blog post, so you can check out that. And I do a home video that shows you how to make a TRX style trainer for like under $80. So you can look at that too, if so desired.
I'd say you better watch that home video.
Mm-hmm. I think the other part of the question though is like, I mean, I think we kind of hit it a little bit, but we don't really know what equipment they have. So, I mean, they may have a whole full home gym studio. I mean, they might have a lot of options. I think what I focused in on the question was that the workouts that they've looked at incorporate elements that one or the other isn't crazy about. I think that's really what it's based on. It's what aren't you guys crazy about, and can you either eliminate that from the workouts that you do, or do you have to do the entire workout yourselves? Can you, you know, if it's, let's say, cardio they disagree on and she likes doing functional stuff and he likes running, well, then do the workout, and then at the end you guys can split off, take the treadmill, and she lifts some kettlebells. Like, you know, I don't know that you have to do the entire workout together, and if that might be a solution, then the other side of it is just to sit down and say, okay, what do we like and what don't we like? Put out a list and then find a book or a product or something that seems to fit that, because it really seems to be more not even necessarily what's like the gender equal workouts or whatever, but more of like just what's the workout that works for both of you guys. Because I think the differences between male and female are so relatively minimal that most of the time you don't really have to address them, and you still get very good results. So although there is the slightest bit of twist that you might do, it's really not worth it in the scheme of things. So I think you're really just looking for a workout that both of you agree on. So if that's the case, then you guys have to figure that out for yourselves, because we don't know what you don't like or what you do like. It wasn't really included in the question. So I don't think you have to worry too much about, you know, what's a book that has male and female workouts. I mean, because if that were the case, you just say, just pick up New Rules of Lifting, one or the other. They're similar workouts.
Men's
They're
health and women's health exercise, big book.
Exactly. Yeah. So but at the same time, you could look at them and be like, well, I just don't like this workout. It doesn't matter if it's written for women or men or whatever. If you don't like the workout, you don't like the workout. So I think it's just based on the equipment that you have, the ability that you have to utilize a certain workout. Because if they have, you know, all kinds of squats and you don't have a rack, that's going to be tough. But if it's just that, well, you love front squats, but she likes back squats, well, then you can either change that around, or you could buy two squat racks if you have some kind of giant mansion and all the room to do it. Or you're going to have to, you know, either make compromise or have aspects of the workouts that do differ. But as long as you're spending that time together, maybe that's okay.
Good point.
That's really cool. That needs to be noted, is that it is 11:45 and Ice-T is just leaving to go to a New York Jets game that's at 1 o'clock, because he can just get right in because he's Ice-T.
God, he's awesome. He's so fascinated by Ice-T's Twitter account.
Final Level. Follow him on Twitter. He is the OG. All right.
Well, that's true.
He's the OG. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be right back with our roundtable discussion on how to meet your goals for 2011. We'll be right back.
But I'm treated like a trooper. They say I'm only a man, but I'm feeling pretty super. And I'ma be bigger than the rest, and maybe I'll rest when I'm the very best. And I control the game like star selectors on my chest, man. Yeah, there's only one direction where I wanna go. Side scrolling, I know everything that lies ahead of me. Like I got a strategy guide for my life, and I'm show. I can do the impossible, I'm unstoppable, like Santa Gold. And all my obstacles, better hope they got codes, cause I'ma take over like Hover. God mode, I'm feeling invincible. Yeah, I'ma be a star, man, pulling strings from the top. You can call it harping if this is your castle. Excuse me while I barge in, and my grind don't pause, so don't bother pressing start then. I'll make my way to the end, can't tell me now. I don't care what they do, I don't play the loser.
This is just a little post-production clip, but that was LeVar Allen's cool song, Game Over. So if you want to check out some more of his stuff, you can go to levarallen.com. Let's go back to the show. All right, we're back for the roundtable after a short break. And we're going to be talking about how to meet your goals for 2011. And this is something that we got a couple requests for. And I just want to kind of throw it around the we'll go around the table and, you know, see what you guys have to say about what you tell your clients and your online clients or in-person clients on how to help meet their goals for 2011. So what do you guys think, Lee?
I think the first tip would be to set realistic goals.
Bam. I like it.
You know, most people go into the New Year's resolution goals and they set themselves up to somewhat fail before they even begin by setting unrealistic goals. I believe very strongly in cognitive patterns and creating like positive cognitive response. And I believe that the more that you set yourself up for failure, the more likely you are to fail. So I think one of the best things that you can do is, if you're going to make a goal setting list, is to set goals that are very achievable. And it might seem overly simplistic, but you should even write down things that you somewhat know you already are good at, and then find a way to implement and tweak them to increase progression. really look at the realistic figures. If weight loss is involved in the goal at all, then you should really look at how realistic the figures are for weight loss. Pure fat loss to be lost in a week is actually a very difficult thing. It's not easy to achieve a pound, let alone two or three, especially for smaller males and females. And you need to be really realistic about your goals, about what you can achieve in a year training-wise, about what you can achieve in a month fat loss-wise. So I think being realistic is one. And then I think setting goals for your goals or lifestyle supporting goals is important. A lot of people say, I'm going to train or I'm going to start my fat loss program or all these types of things, but then they don't alter their lifestyle to fit what's actually coming. And you can't live a lifestyle of an active person or of someone who takes care of themselves, but you neglect the supporting things to do that. And I think that it's very important to focus on the supporting goals and supporting mindset goals, reading the types of things that will lead you to being a more positive person, surrounding yourself with the kinds of people that are going to help you become the person that you want to be. I believe very much the people that you know help create who you are. So having just having the whole section of your life really making up who you want to be and what those kind of goals are going to help. If you want to, you know, it can be broken down into anything. Like I know a lot of people and my friends and kind of like a social circle are really into parkour and into free running and things like that. But one of my guy friends, he's kind of off and on his own. He doesn't have anyone to do it with, and it makes it incredibly hard for him to get into that kind of lifestyle and that kind of training because he doesn't have anyone to do it with. He doesn't have any friends that really do it. Therefore, he procrastinates and whatnot. And I think if, you know, he found himself a niche of people, a group of people that he actually enjoyed doing things with, then it would become more habit forming and he would start to have a better time doing it and he would progress and his results in it and whatnot. And that's just one example. You can look at that in 1,001 examples from marathon training to even CrossFit or what have you. But I think that really making your goals support your goals and your lifestyle support your goals is one of the key ways to actually achieving them. So yeah, make realistic goals and then have your lifestyle and your alternative goals that aren't specific to it supported as well. It's my two tips. Kevin Larrabee.
Kevin's dead.
Yeah, I know. It's really sad. I guess he didn't make
it. Muted myself because people complain about me clicking a lot.
maybe don't click when people are talking.
I'm a multitasker.
How about that for a New Year's resolution?
I'm playing.
No, you're not a multitasker.
I'm watching
you're
ESPN.
ADD.
I'm podcasting. I just emailed somebody.
Yeah, you're a movie. You're a shaker. Whatever.
So that's what I got to do. So anyways... one of the main things I would say is have a plan in place and make sure it is something that what's the best way to describe this? Something that you are believe will work. So something I was fighting with how to kind of describe this, but one example is, you know, get a workout, whether, you know, New Rules of Lifting for Abs just came out. If you need a new workout to kind of spice things up, something that will be interesting and exciting, you know, maybe that's a route that you take, or, you know, start working with a personal trainer that you respect and, you know, is going to give you a good program. Or same thing with your nutrition. You know, one of the things that I tell a lot of people, and many people know, is, you know, I don't write my own nutrition most of the time. I go to Lee Peel because or someone else to say, you know what, I'm thinking of this, and this. I need some advice because I tend to go to the, you know, the people that know more than me. And you know what, I'm more likely to follow something that, you know, I know is coming from someone that is very educated in the field. Same thing with training. Like one of the coolest things that we did at CrossFit Performance is that they kind of go around and everyone writes the program for the month. Like Eric will write next month's program, Tony will write next month's program, Brian will write the program after that. You know, and that way we are kind of always excited because everyone has a different take on things and you trust everyone that is involved. So I would say that would be the main thing. Don't just like go and walk into the gym and, you know, do some exercises that you like. Make sure you have a plan, something that is from people that you respect that are educated and that you know is going to work, so you can plan on having the benefits or having the results that you want. Otherwise, I think you're a lot less likely to stick to it because you will convince your way out of it. If you have someone else that's writing you nutrition or training and stuff like that, you're more likely to follow it than not. That's just something I've seen in the past. I hope I described that quite well, but I probably didn't, knowing me. John, what do you got?
I'm going to take an approach to kind of people that are either new to weight loss goals or more so people that can consistently fail at those goals, because that's really when people have these New Year's resolutions. Like, you're not having a resolution on health and fitness if you're already good at it. You know, you usually have those resolutions like, you know, this is the year I quit smoking, this is the year I lose 10 pounds. So for those people, my advice is typically take, you know, if you find that you continuously try and fail back and forth in these kind of yo-yos, you need to eliminate the things that are making you fail. And that can be including exercise or diet, because what tends to happen is someone is really good at dieting. They have no problem dieting, but they can't get to the gym. And after a week or two of trying to go to the gym and not going to the gym, they get frustrated and then everything gets blown up. Or the reverse, where they go to the gym consistently, but they just can't seem to eat right. They go home, they have dessert, they eat out too often, so they're not seeing things on the scale. And what I try to tell them is that's okay. It's okay because you need to start from somewhere. So take whatever you're good at and build off of that. So if you're good at going to the gym, then just do your best to eat well. And if you have some days that you screw up, don't punish yourself for it and don't get frustrated by the process. It's a lifestyle change. It's not about adding something into your life. It's about changing your life. And that's not done overnight and that's not done easily. So if you can't do everything all at once, and most people cannot, then you need to pick and choose your battles. Start with consistency in one area, and usually that'll help you in another area too. So after a bit of time, you've got this diet thing down pretty well, and you realize, you know what, I've been doing so nicely, and I'd like to see a little bit more muscle, or I'd like to see weight loss come about more quickly and evenly. And then you have been encouraged to go to the gym and to do the things that you're not as consistent with, because you're seeing success already and you want to improve on that success. But when people who do not have a healthy lifestyle try to do everything at once, you're asking for failure. There's no way you're going to succeed when you try to flip your life upside down. It's just, you're bound to go back to old habits. So that's the first thing that I tend to recommend. And then secondly, it's almost in the face of what we usually recommend, but the fact of the matter is, especially to a beginner, I almost don't care what you do as long as you do something, because we have to agree that doing something is better than doing nothing. So if you listen to the advice and we're talking about you should be deadlifting and you should be squatting and you should be doing all this stuff and you really don't like to do it, and that's prohibiting you from actually going to the gym because you're like, well, I don't want to do this stuff, so I'm just not going to, then don't do what we're saying. Just go and take a friggin', you know, body step class. I don't care what you do. Just do something. And then over time, you can see if there's room to possibly improve that. But I'd still rather that you go to the gym and do steady state for half an hour than not go to the gym at all. So again, pick your battles and decide for yourself what's realistic for you. Can you really take, you know, the recommendations that we're making, that maybe another fitness professional might be making? Or are you going to say, you know what, look, this is the stuff that I enjoy doing and I just hate the other stuff, and it's not going to motivate me and it's not going to get me into the gym? If that's the case, then you've got to do something that is appropriate for you and is still going to give you, you know, results. They're still going to give you health improvements, and whether or not they give you the best optimal results, we could argue about that all day, but guaranteed doing nothing is not going to give you any results. So I'd rather that you at least do something.
Nice. Lee, do you have another one?
I gave two. You told me to give two.
Oh, I'm sorry. And the other one, I'm just going to...
Look at him just calling you out. Lee, you have something else? Right?
I wasn't prepared. I mean, sure.
No. Sorry. That was my mistake. So the only other thing I was going to say is, schedule breaks. And make sure you stick to your schedule if you do schedule breaks. But one of the best things that you can do is, you know, just take, if you go hard for, you know, 2 months, just take a break from, maybe it's just your nutrition, and go out a couple nights that week with friends and get a couple drinks if that's what you want to do, go to the bar or whatever. But take a break, relax, and enjoy yourself for a little bit. But then be ready to get right back on track. And that's sketchy territory, because some people have problems jumping back on the horse once they get off. But you got to have some fun in life, you know? You gotta have a deep-fried Twinkie, for example. I have never had one in my life, but I've seen people eat them, and they look kind of gross. I think Twinkies are pretty gross, but for people out there that like them. All right, we're going to wrap up this podcast because my caffeine's wearing off.
Oof, that's obvious.
Clearly. And hopefully episode 202 is going to be better than 201. We can only get better, right, guys?
Yep.
That's what she said.
I oofed a lot this episode, I think. I think I clearly counted 3 or 4 oof.
I tried to watch my nose and ums.
All right.
It's really annoying when you figure out how many times I say, you know.
Yeah. I've counted ums before, and I just got sad.
You can always just have people pick up the phone. Give us a call on that voicemail line.
I'm not doing this with you today.
No.
Pick up the phone.
You know what? You know what? You will be posting your dancing to that Evacuate the Dance Floor song.
I'm going
to
practice a little bit first. But once I get good, awesome. Once I get really, good.
The Belvedere de Vaux Poison there.
Whatever.
Are you serious?
It's so sweet. It's so sweet.
I'm ready. You ready, kid? I'm ready. Let's go.
Out of my mind.
Is it like Turk from Scrubs? Tell me you've seen that episode, Lee. Oh, God. All right. I'm sending you enslaved in all 8 seasons of Scrubs.
I mean, I have watched Scrubs. I just haven't seen every single episode.
That's why I'm going to be fixing that. All right. Well, we have probably the best off topic that we've had in a long time coming up right now.
He's lying.
I have to agree with Kevin.
It's 25 minutes long.
They're lying.
Movies, games, life-changing tales.
And Kevin High.
How yeah. Lee got stuck outside in the cold on Christmas Eve with a gun and a pair of boots on.
And the entire off-topic.
That sounds hot, actually.
The entire off-topic background music was like a G6.
Wait, that's not. Are they talking about a plane in that? Oh, by the way, the podcast's over. This is off-topic. Are they talking about a plane in that?
Yeah, dude.
That's what I thought. It's either that or like the new processor for the new Apple computer. Get that G6. It's twice as fast as the G3. I'm just not gonna. Okay.
What a great segue into the off top.
Hope you enjoyed this week's episode. For episode 201, I'm Kevin Larrabee.
I'm Jonathan Fess.
Emily Peel.
We'll see you next week. I don't know what it is.
That?
I don't know. I was oh, damn it. Whatever. Bye. All right, believe it or not, we're back with the off-topic discussion for episode 201, and we got some cool stuff to talk about. I'm going to hit it off, or start it off. I hope you guys can still hear me, because it looks like my internet might be dying, or it might be a website that I'm going to, but...
How is it dying?
Oh, no, I think it's okay. It's okay.
That's good.
Kevin's looking at porn.
No, I'm looking at a video game website. So anyways, the... Let's we're gonna hit on a couple things. Look at I even put it in the outline of things.
I'm very proud of you. You're growing.
Thanks. First,
it's a new year.
I know. What's my dog chewing on? Hold on. Oh, fuck, he's got an Xbox controller.
Wow.
Oh, that's gotta be Kevin.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Gotta be kept.
Yeah, you're not removing that at all.
No. He keeps chewing this. He's already destroyed two of my controllers. He chews the knobs of the thumbsticks.
Probably put them away.
I just leave them on my couch because I was watching some Primeval this morning from BBC on Netflix.
Gotta put them away.
He's got like, here, dude, here's a rope. Chew on that. Oh. No, I can't play with you right now.
Childproof, Kevin.
Yeah, really, dude.
Well, he's been pretty good. He just chews on controllers and remotes.
Dude, you're like my dad with their puppy. It's like all of a sudden the puppy's like ripping apart the freaking couch. And he's like, oh, she was just in there for a minute.
It's not his fault.
I'm like if you had a one-year-old baby, would you let her crawl around the house? She's like, well, she can't get into that much trouble.
Oh, you're going to say
can't. Well, anyways, first thing, just a very sad note that Stargate Universe has been officially canceled.
Very sad.
After its second season, it will not be coming back, and the Stargate franchise is in
limbo. You know,
it's in limbo. It's up in the air.
Is it in another dimension, Kevin?
I mean, it's possible due to the... usually there was only one device in the Stargate Universe that really brought people to other parallel worlds, but... That's really sad because it's been on for 15 years straight on Showtime and on Sci-Fi, and now there will not be a new Stargate next year. So I just want to take a moment and want everyone to think about that.
Oh my God, what will Comic-Con do next year now?
Well, they aren't really a popular show. Some of their episodes this year failed to reach a million viewers. That's why it got canceled. So I don't,
even we get better ratings than that.
We get 1.2 usually.
Nice.
Want to quickly mention, for all the Doctor Who fans out there, since we haven't recorded a podcast in like 4 weeks, the Doctor Who Christmas special was, pretty good.
What entails a Doctor Who Christmas special?
They do an episode every year that's based around Christmas. Okay. Like the Doctor generally visits someplace on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, and shenanigans happen.
Huh. Is that like the Buffy Halloween specials?
Kind of, but they're usually longer. Like they'll be 2 hours long instead of 1 hour. So they're kind of like TV movies in that sense. And the Doctor Who is on in the summer, so it's nice to get like you get 2 episodes in the middle of the year.
Completely out of normal lineup or order then. I got you.
Usually it stays within the timeline of the show, and it is like canon. Like you'll see characters from the main show will be in it, but it's just something like every year they do a Christmas special, and I guess they've done this for forever with Doctor Who. And it's something that's quite popular in the UK, is they tend to do like Christmas specials for a lot of different shows, and it's something that Doctor Who has done quite a bit. You see it sometimes in American shows. John, I'm going to have to ask you to not click as much.
Damn it.
Just for the
future. I was looking up the Doctor Who Christmas special.
It's really good. I mean, you can obviously get it on BBC America. They replayed it again last night. I didn't watch it last night, but one thing that I will say quickly is that I just found out the show Primeval, which is again it's like a BBC America or BBC show, which is really cool. The first two seasons were kind of I didn't even finish the second season, but I just started the third season last night after I saw that the fourth season was premiering on BBC America last night, and I watched 5 episodes straight last night before going to bed. It got good, and it's got one of the guys from Snatch on the show now. Like from Snatch and Lockstock, which is good. At least for season 3. Finally, did you guys watch Hawaii Five-0?
The original or the remake?
Oh, the remake. I don't watch old shit.
Wow. No.
It's really...
I haven't watched the remake. I've seen some of the original.
The remake is a really good show.
See, because the first episode, everyone dogged it.
No, it's like the number one new show on television.
Is it really?
That's yeah.
Good.
And
because my secret wife from Battlestar is on.
I have dog hair in my coffee.
That was the most amazing series of sentences ever spoken. I just want to point that out.
What was?
It's the number one TV show. Good because my secret wife is on it. I have dog hair in my coffee.
Who is your secret wife?
The girl that's on Hawaii Five-0.
From Battlestar?
Oh, yeah. Well, like, I don't know. So
oh, she's I'm smoking saying, hot. She's from Battlestar. She played, she was one of the Cylon. Oh, spoiler. I should probably cut that out.
Nah, if someone hasn't seen Battlestar at this point. That was in the first, like...
It was in the first season. No, second season.
No, nah, dude. It was in the first... It was in the movie. It was in the original...
Oh, yeah. And everyone else didn't know about it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. No, but she is something Park.
Oh, my God. How about a name?
Yeah. Grace Park. Grace Park. Grace Park. I think it's Grace Park.
Grace Park.
You're like, well, she's a this or a that.
Like in the first episode, she's like surfing too and...
Yeah.
Scandal.
Dude, do a Google image search.
That's what I'm doing.
Okay, everyone, pause the... All the guys out there, pause and do a Google image search.
Okay. Dude, I thought you had plenty of time. You could have put in Hawaii Five-0, seeing the girl. Come on.
You're not bringing that up. I think the show is really it's super good. And they have a great cast, like a great main cast, and all their guest stars. Like, first off, their main cast, two of them are from major sci-fi shows in the last 5 years, which is Lost and Battlestar. It has something Kane, I forget what his name is, but he was, you know, he's from Entourage. He was in the Ocean's movies.
Yeah.
He's a pretty cool guy.
That's right. Good call. He is Entourage.
Yeah. And just for a little bit. And
yeah, for a little bit.
Like their guest star, like last or the last one that I watched, I don't know which episode it was because I've been catching up on demand over vacation. But it had the you know, another guy from Entourage. He's like, you know, the director is like, yo, suit. You know who calls? He's the director of Medellin, and he's kind of a pain in the butt. And he was also in 24. He was one of the traitors in season 7 of 24. It's good. Fantastic show. Really think you should check it out. It's on CBS at 10 o'clock on Monday nights. So that's good. But Primeval, man. God, my people out there in the UK, you guys got it good with BBC. There's just some good stuff on there. Luckily, thanks to the internet and BBC America, we can check it out ourselves. I feel like I'm monopolizing this. You guys watch any TV? You guys all working.
I wasn't prepared for this off-topic discussion because you went ahead and laid out everything we were going to talk about, Kevin.
Right. Like a dictator he is.
Yep. You're the ruler.
So these are the things I want to talk about. And it's the end of the year. And so I finally finished up Red Dead Redemption, which I talked with Lee about on the phone the other day. Finished that up, and it was a pretty good ending.
Wait. You called Lee up, and you're like, dude, I just finished Red Dead Redemption?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
This was after we talked about his bunk beds.
Oh, yeah. And I ordered bunk beds. And Roger just got Dance Central, so he's got to bring that stuff over to my house.
You ordered bunk beds?
All right. Hold on.
Roger Lawson.
All right, you guys I'm caving in right now. I'm going on Amazon. I'm ordering a Kinect right now.
You ordered bunk beds?
It's a joke, John.
No, I don't think it's a joke. You ordered bunk beds for sleepovers, didn't you?
That's what some people
call it. Such a cute bromance. I mean,
I don't want Roger to sleep on my couch again.
Right.
One out of my bed for Roger Lawson.
What? No, he came over like last week and we played video games till like 1 in the morning. We played some Uncharted 2. It was before he had to go home for Christmas break. So we did that. We played some Street Fighter 4, which is good. And but the thing is, I have like the best clients in the world. And one of my clients, actually I have three things I have to go over. one of my clients got me $150 Amazon gift card for Christmas, and she's like,
nice.
"Kevin, you know, I heard you wanted to get like a TV for your bedroom. Buy a TV." So I bought a 26-inch Vizio that was like $230 on Amazon. So now when Roger comes over, we can both be playing the same game online on like next to each other. This sounds really bad, but you play
the same. No, you keep going. You keep talking.
Because you know some of these games you can't play two people on the same console online at once, but you want to play against other people. So this way we can put my 50-inch and the 26-inch. The 50-inch goes to like we'll flip a coin or we'll play, you know, a match of Street Fighter
so
to
you're
see.
You're not even going to demand the 50-inch. You're on.
No, I'm a fair kid. You know, when I had friends that came over when I was like. 2 or 3, I'm like, you play first, man. I always play these games. You don't have a Nintendo. You play this first, and then I'll kick your ass. Here, I'm going to let you think that I'm going to like give you a shot. Then we'll play. You know, we'll play for like 50 cents a game. And see what happens. Come on, I got to see White Man Can't Jump at a very early age, unedited, which was awesome. For various reasons.
Maybe taught me a lot.
Dude, Snipes, man. Snipes. He's in jail, but...
I don't even know how
Can
this...
you tell I have my coffee today?
Oh, John, my God.
Enjoy it. Enjoy it, John. Stop him.
All right, I just placed the order for the Kinect. I can't believe I just ordered that. I've been...
Ugh. And what did you tell me? You told me...
Stupid.
No, you told me.
For babies.
I'm enjoying my Kinect. Shaking my little...
So I should order Dan Sencha with it.
Yes, you should. I have it.
All right, done. $190. It's my birthday gift to myself.
And then I want you to video. I want you to YouTube when you do your dance. To
do they have the song that goes evacuate the dance floor?
Yeah, I just said that.
And oh, they do have that.
I want you YouTubing that.
Evacuate as a request. The dance floor. Okay, hold on. I'm 2 day one clicking this. Oh, I can't believe it. I've spent like $1,000 on Amazon last week.
Awesome.
Credit card debt. I bought a second Xbox, a Kinect, Dance Central. Anything else I should order while I'm on here?
How about like, you know, maybe like Roger Lawson's own pillow cover for when he comes over?
He's got his own pillows. Come on.
Wow.
I have extra sheets and stuff, Lee. What do you think? I'm an animal?
No, I don't, Kevin.
I swear I'll wrap my part off real quickly, but I just want
to
quickly...
No, I don't want you to stop.
I want to quickly mention that finish Red Dead Redemption, fantastic game. You should try to... The middle part in Mexico is slow, but just fight through it. Like, I stopped playing 6 months ago, and then I marathoned it 2 days straight and beat it. I've also been playing the Red Dead Redemption Undead Nightmare. I played that for like an hour, which is pretty good. But to take a break, I've been playing Deadly Premonition, which is a game that came out for $20, brand new. Some recommended manufacturer retail price. And this game sucks in the best possible ways. Like, it is a old-ass Dreamcast game. The voice acting sucks. The animation sucks. It is hilarious. Like, it is clearly like a game. Like, they understand, like, that, you know, it is horrible. But it is so funny to play this game. And if you are like a real gamer, I recommend you pick up Deadly Premonition. It's only on Xbox. It's $20. And just don't take it seriously. Understand going into it. It is not going to not to be taken seriously. Laugh. I haven't laughed this hard playing a game probably in my life. And it's been a nice palate cleanser. So check that out. Also, Xbox had a big sale on... I've been playing lots of video games. Xbox had a big sale on their Xbox Live thing. So I got the downloadable content episodes for Mass Effect 2, which I'm hoping to break out today or tomorrow. And some Alan Wake stuff. Man, I've been playing... Like, if you see me on Xbox Live, like, Smitty's been seeing me on Xbox Live. It's just like, dude, what is that kid doing playing this Deadly Premonition stuff? And he wants me to play, like, Call of Duty. So, Smitty,
this is the worst off topic ever. You are so coffee high right now.
I haven't had coffee in like 2 days. Spike doesn't give me energy like coffee does, which is very odd. Is that weird?
You are so high right now.
And it's much cleaner energy. Like I've been finding, I just drink like on the way to the gym, I just pick up like a medium coffee.
And you wonder why people don't want to listen to the off topic.
People love this shit.
Oh my God.
By the way, we're not censored for the 2011. We're just doing every other year from now on. and what else? What else? And just a couple other things. I've just had the stack of games that I've been neglecting. I haven't played video games very much in like the last couple months, so I'm trying to really catch up. Darksiders, which is like Zelda but dark.
but dark.
Wow.
If you think Zelda's for kids, Darksiders is cool. And also, I bought so many because this place called Gamefly has had this year end sale, so like a ton of games for like $10. So I spent like $200, and I bought.
Oh really?
No joke. I bought like 15 games. So I've been playing catch up, and I've been going back to games that I didn't finish. I think John
just died.
I did not.
Oh, Dance Central coming. All right, here we go.
But you know what, Kevin? You are a dick because I rely on you to tell me about these great year-end sales.
John, you don't live in America. How are you going to order this stuff?
I'm here now.
Oh, that's a good point. He's on our soil, Kevin.
In America?
America?
Did you have a McRib while you're here? Because you can't leave without a McRib. I think, and also Enslaved, which I talked to Lee about. Enslaved is a great
female
game.
Female protagonist, isn't that one, is what I know. So,
exactly.
That's what Kevin said to me. As a female protagonist.
And I felt horrible after saying that because I'm like, oh man, it's not like.
Totally pigeonholed me.
Lee, you have to play girl games. Like, did you get that new Barbie game, Lee?
No.
Barbie's Malibu Dreamhouse Adventure?
I didn't.
It's got guns in it. It's like Gears of War.
It's on back order.
Is that where she kills zombies?
Yeah.
That would be a great game.
And Inception's really good. I watched that on Blu-ray again.
Yeah, it's great.
All right, I think I got that all out of my system. Man, I've just been holding this in. I saw The Town the other day, which is really good.
You did too?
It was funny.
I did.
Go ahead.
John, we just talked about this like 10 minutes
ago. Yeah, but I didn't know that you actually hadn't seen it until recently. I thought I was the only idiot in the world that hadn't seen that.
I saw it was pretty good.
Thanks, John. I haven't seen it.
Holy.
Wait, did you spoil the movie for?
No.
I didn't hear what you said. Okay.
Say anything. But I will say this is what's funny about that. So you put it in the outline, right? And I was like, okay, I don't know what this is either. So I went and I Googled it and I was like, oh, it's that movie with like the bank robbing nuns or whatever, because all I had ever seen is the preview that lasted 30 seconds, which had them showing like, oh, these scary, creepy bank robbing nun people. And that was like it. The trailer was crap that I saw. Did not explain the movie at all. I watched the full like 2 minute trailer. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, that looks awesome.
Yeah.
Oh,
awesome.
It looks awesome. But the trailer on regular TV, it failed for me because I just thought, oh, creepy nun, Point Break, something.
Oh, whoa. You just said Point Break like it was a bad thing.
Bad thing.
I didn't know. I didn't say it was a bad thing. I'm just saying, like, in Point Break, they're bank robbers that wear, like, you know, kind of creepy-looking ex-president masks. In this movie, it's like, oh, we're bank robbers that wear, like, creepy nun mask outfits. Like, there was a correlation. That was my correlation that I made between the two, because that's all the trailer gave me, Kevin.
Can you guess which scene is Tony's favorite to reenact?
Do tell out loud.
When Johnny Rico, man. No, not Johnny Rico, Starship Troopers.
FBI agent.
What the hell? Let's not even do a podcast. Let's just do 2 hours of off topic.
That'd be a way to ring in New Year.
Oh, people just like unsubscribe. But the part with Johnny Utah, when he like jumps into the ravine and he's chasing the guys and he hurts his knee.
And he's like, oh.
And he just points his gun up there and goes,
ah! Oh, yeah, that's right.
So that was good.
Freak out.
They also reenact that in that movie that I have, Hot Fuzz. That was a good movie.
I saw a ton of movies, but Kevin doesn't care because he didn't see it.
What did you – don't spoil Tron. I haven't seen it. I suck.
Saw Tron. Fantastic.
So it was good. You're the first person I've heard say it was good.
Okay. The people that you have heard –
I'm getting ready to go see it like today. Communist. I'm going to go see it today. And and everyone has said it's not good. And I'm like, what the – it's
a bunch of crap.
Actually,
it's a bunch of crap.
Good.
Text Roger if he wants to see it.
Thank you, John, for redoing my fate.
No.
Are you listening to North Carolina people?
They don't understand technology. They're like, what? Yeah,
they don't even have...
This is very funny.
They went into the computers. Unsubscribe.
Listen, Lee Quill, if you're planning on going to a talkie, don't go to see Tron. Because it don't even make no sense. First of all, let me tell you. First of all, he goes into the pooter. And that doesn't make any damn sense, first of all, because everybody knows I have looked at the ports on the side of my pooter, and I do not see
the USB ports.
Yes, the USB ports, and I can't see any damn way to be getting myself into that pooter. So, first of all, the entire premise is flawed. And the whole movie was just blurry.
I thought Jeff Bridges was great, though. He's great. Where's Bo? He didn't get a role for Bo? Bo Bridges, his brother.
Where did your accent go?
I don't know. It's hard when I can't hear myself. I was doing a really good English accent talking to myself last night when I was watching.
Oh.
I was like, man, I could do that.
The best off topic ever.
Oh, Doctor Who.
No, I'm
Merry Christmas to you too.
No, but seriously, Lee, people who don't like Tron, it's because they don't like technology or they don't like just it's a effing movie. It's supposed to not make sense. Do you think people could really go into computers in the future, you jackasses? Calm down.
And they
handed
me these glasses, and I'm like, listen here, buddy, I don't have glaucoma and I don't need your glasses.
And they wouldn't let me bring in my moonshine. Because everyone... Okay. Let's wrap this off topic up. It's...
I also saw True Grit.
Oh, I want to see that. Jeff Bridges again.
Yeah.
I've been on a bridge-a-thon.
The acting and the dialogue were intense.
Right.
I saw Fair Play.
Okay.
Yeah, that was very good.
Who's in that?
That's with what's your name and what's his face?
Fair Play?
Yeah. Very good movie. It was about the CIA agent that was ousted and outed by the Bush administration because her husband was
My dog's spelling the microphone if he's making a noise.
Her husband was a diplomat. This is a true story. It's based on a true story. And like he'd spoken out against the Iraq war. And one of the high-ups in government had... written an article against what he was saying and actually named her by name, and she was a deep undercover operative in the CIA and basically blew her entire cover, blew everything, and it was a really interesting story. What else did I see? I saw a bunch of stuff, dude. I saw basically like every movie out. So 127 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Woof.
Want to go hiking anytime soon?
No. No. The scene is graphic. Like, it is graphic. It's crazy.
Watch that scene on YouTube because that's the only part I want to see in that movie.
No, the whole movie's good. I mean, he's incredible in it. I mean, it's like the whole movie is basically him except for, like, you know, 15 minutes of it.
How underrated is that guy?
He's really good.
Like, he was the best part of Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, he's really good. He was the only good part of Spider-Man 3.
I know.
Are you kidding me?
So good.
Yeah, he was very good.
You know that scene when he's like eating the pie and he goes, just so good. Oh, maybe that was two. I don't know. Okay, my dog's jumping on me. So, you anything else, guys?
No, I finally
saw The Social
Dance
Network.
Central. That was pretty good.
Oh, it was great. So, The Fighter.
Oh,
and no matter how much you try to avoid it, Kevin, I saw UFC last night.
Oh, and that will be it for this week's off-topic discussion. Hope you guys enjoyed the podcast.
Unbelievable fight, Frankie Edgar, Gray Maynard. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Okay, are we done?
You better keep recording. Listen, Frankie Edgar gets knocked around like a rag doll first round. Knocked down, I think it was 3 times. And I mean like walking around dizzy. Even your dog likes this story. And then comes back second round like a brand new fighter.
Hey, calm down, man.
Imposes his will on the cage for the next 4 rounds. And it ends up, well, okay, no, I'm not going to say anything in case some of the listeners haven't seen it, but it was ridiculous. Right. Ridiculous.
My dog's bored as shit. All right. Hope you guys enjoyed the podcast.